We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are joined by the Athletics' Joe Vardon. Joe, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Oh, my pleasure.
So let's just dive right into it. John Beilein and the Cavs. I mean, I know there has been a lot of discussion about something like this potentially happening. Are you surprised with the timing of everything around this?
No. I mean, the thing that I'd be surprised about is just this idea of a resignation, just because he's got millions of dollars and several years left on his contract. But surely that is not what is going on here. They will come to some agreement on a buyout so that he can feel good about leaving and not leaving every last dollar behind, but also kind of move on from something that just clearly has not worked for him or for the organization.
Are you like waiting by your phone for this type of information, or is this one of those things that, hey, it might come Wednesday, might come a week from now?
No. I mean, you know, we're blessed with an army of people here at the Athletic, and Shams is on it, and of course we have Kelsey, who replaced me as the Cavs beat writer, and you know, so I'm just kind of free to sit here and play center field and see what shakes out.
That's good. And so now that you are a part of the national media, I know you'll get this story right, but what worries me about this story, Joe, is that the national media will point to Dan Gilbert and they'll point to four head coaches since October of 2018, and they'll say this is who the Cavs are now. And as far as I can tell, this isn't the Cavs' fault, this one. Like, Dan Gilbert, there was a plan. It was put in place. John Beilein is the one that I'm looking at and saying, okay, he's the reasoning as to why this isn't working out now.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I think that there is merit to what you're saying. However, I think that you can say, if you want to be on the other side of the argument, that they were interviewing one type of candidate, and it was pretty consistent, and the pool of candidates was large, it was all the same thing. It was younger, NBA lifer, player development specialist, which is different than being a college coach, by the way, but all kind of the same, like video coordinators, like just had experience with that. It was all the same guy, and then they go and get John. And right away, I mean, everybody was lauding him for his basketball mind and how much he'd won at Michigan and West Virginia and all that. But even then, there was a point of, look, he is 60. At the time, he was 66 years old, and he had never been in the NBA before, never had to relate to millionaires before. So, I think there were legitimate questions when they hired him. I don't think that, kind of to your point, I don't think anybody could have envisioned that it would go quite like this.
You mentioned relating himself to millionaires. Was that the hardest part for him, or was it more with the nuances of the game? Like, what made this struggle so mightily?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with just John's coaching style. Let's be real about this. He came from Michigan, and then before that, West Virginia, where he was highly successful. Mm-hmm. Great, great coach, great programs. With guys who aren't exactly NBA blue chippers. And that matters, I think. You know, he recruited a certain type of player that was going to be in his program for a number of years. And when you have guys like that, there's a certain way that you can coach. You can demand. You can allow your presence to be the largest presence in the room. And you can't do that in the NBA. I mean, even the guy who is, you know, I mean, towards the end of the bench is making as much money as you are. And as clear as we're about to see, virtually any player can outlast the coach. And that's going to happen here. And so it's different. You have to earn respect. You have to learn to work together. You are asking a lot more than you're telling. Those were hurdles for John, for sure.
I guess the big question, I'm talking to Joe Vardon here on 92.3 The Fan, is was it these Cav players or was it just the NBA in general? Like, does anyone think if Beilein got the Pistons job he interviewed for, do you think it would have been a different path for him and it might have worked out? Or was there something about Cleveland, something about maybe even Dan Gilbert or Kobe Altman or this structure that made it not work?
Yeah, I mean, having to play Colin, Darius, and Jetty all in a row, that's going to make this not work.
Hmm.
It's just the recipe for disaster, and it puts you – it's just hard. I mean, Colin and Darius are the same height, the same build. They're 1 year apart. This league eats guards alive anyway, and you're talking about two undersized guys both trying to play point guard. And then Jetty, you know, is kind of the third guy. I mean, if you're going to play Jetty, and he's, you know, he's great, I love him, but if you're going to play him, then you need help around him. But he's had to be the helper, and that hasn't worked again. And this league has become a league of dominant wings, and Jetty is not dominant. So now you're down three.
Yeah.
And then you look at it and say, well, where's Kevin? Where's Tristan? And, yeah, you know, they're there, and Tristan's having a career. Kevin obviously has had his ups and downs. I mean, that's a whole different story. But, you know, when you talk about John and you talk about his coaching style and you talk about sort of everything that didn't work, I don't know if this would have been better, if he'd have been better off in Detroit or Atlanta or somewhere else. But, I mean, he's got a couple strikes against them just by sort of where they are in their rebuild.
Let's talk about Kobe Altman for a second, because Kobe is fascinating to me. He's putting on a Sam Hinkie clinic as far as trying to maintain just employment for as long as he possibly can. And he's doing a good job extending it. And not many people are really lighting him on fire for the fact that this has kind of been a disaster since he's taken over. Like, when will we start to see pressure on Kobe Altman, or does he still have a long leash here?
Well, I mean, he remains, and this just happened. I mean, he's the only GM in Dan Gilbert's ownership tenure to get an extension, and that happened this season. So, you know, right there tells you that he's got some room. And then I saw Terry Pluto's column today. I assume that Kobe told him. This is just my assumption that Kobe told him this was. That John was Kobe's hire, but most of us don't believe that. We don't, and it's, again, based on the chronology of what was happening at the time. You know, Kobe's assistants were on airplanes going to interview other candidates who, again, fit that same mold mm-hmm. that they were talking to before when John was hired. I just don't put this hire on Kobe. I'm sorry, I don't. I put it on Dan. You know, there have been trades. I mean, they're trying to get something started here. Like, you can't say, point to any one trade and say, oh, that was a disaster, except for the Kyrie Irving trade. They continue to insist that was the best they could have done at the time and that they had to trade him because his value never would have been higher than it was. Kyrie's injury history since the trade actually has been pretty bad to kind of back them up on that point. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at what the return was, it's at the end of the day, it's Colin. That's not, you know, that's not enough for Kyrie Irving.
No doubt about it. Joe Varden joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, you're at the All-Star game. Before we get to some of the festivity stuff, the Elam ending yesterday, I told people it would feel like if baseball ended their game after seven innings with a home run derby, but I was excited for it because I watched the basketball tournament filled with guys you wouldn't know if they were a passenger in your car. And, most people wouldn't watch the basketball tournament if it was in their backyard, but it worked. They rolled the dice and didn't crap out. And then yesterday, we got to see the very best try out that system. And Joe, you were there. It was electric through the TV. I imagine it was at the United Center, too.
It was thrilling. I mean, I've covered six All-Star games now. This one, it's not even remotely close in terms of being there and what we saw and what it felt like in the building. I mean, you're talking about guys who absolutely cared. And I go back, Jonathan, I go back to the third quarter is when this really smacked everybody in the face. Because Team Giannis was overall up by like 11,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, who cares? It's another All-Star game, whatever. But in the third quarter, Joker, you know, Nikola Jokic hits a three with 22 seconds left to put LeBron up two for the quarter. So now you've got Nick Nurse calling timeouts and drawing up plays. And then they end up, Giannis scores. So now it's tied again. There's 2 seconds left. So now Frank Vogel is calling a timeout. And they're strategizing. And it's all because there was a game within the game. And then when you put it all together in that fourth quarter and you're thinking, well, I mean, you know, Team LeBron is down by 9 points here. They've got to score 33 to win. And they just defended their tails off. It was fantastic. And you've got, you know, they went totally away from Trae Young and Luka Doncic, the two kids in the games, and played Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul. They played them 30 minutes. Like they played the last 30 minutes of the game all to try to win this thing. It was awesome, and they've got something here for sure.
And the only part, and I knew this going in, is the only part I was worried about was having a walk-off free throw. I said it could be great, it could go down great, but you could do the walk-off free throw, and people won't know the excitement that is the Elam ending with every shot winning a game, right? Every late game shot being the decider. But yeah, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad it worked out for the NBA. How much does LeBron deserve in credit for making the All-Star game matter this weekend? Because I feel like he decided this game was going to matter, and then everybody else bought in.
Boy, you know, I mean, certainly I would be prone to giving him credit if he deserves it. I think he deserves some. I credit Giannis. I'll tell you right now, Giannis does not mess around. He came to play yesterday. Had his team held it together, he would have won MVP. I thought Kawhi came out and was electric in the first half. I credit him. And then, you know, Chris Paul. I thought he really brought it. It was great. And so you got to credit all the players. At the end, you know, Anthony Davis is there at the line, and he misses the first free throw. Yeah. And Joel Embiid is in his face. This is great. It's just great. Great stuff all the way around.
What was your favorite part of the non-basketball festivities? I'm talking about the national anthem that got judged. Everyone turned into Simon Cowell all of a sudden on Twitter, just ripping the national anthem. But you had Common with the introductions. You had Chance the Rapper at halftime. You had Magic Johnson with the 8-second tribute. Like, what was the moment for you this weekend, Joe?
It was Common. That was brilliant. And just really made you think, and it was such incredible delivery. So Common overall, and then beyond that, this was a celebration of Chicago. It was not a celebration of Michael Jordan, which I would have been okay with. I mean, being almost 40 years old, I mean, I grew up when he ruled the land. But it was kind of striking how Michael's presence there was maybe less than you might have thought it would have been. Whereas, you know, the former president, Barack Obama, was there and was certainly like a part of everything they were talking about. And then like the history of Chicago basketball in general, like if Michael was one, then Scottie was 1A, but they celebrated Dwayne and Anthony Davis and way on down the line. I mean, like, Chicago high school legends, Chicago blacktop legends. I mean, it was it was pretty cool, and that was kind of the thing I remember is that, I mean, this is, they call United Center the house that Michael built, and it wasn't really about him.
Wow, that's a great point. And, you know, I grew up in Chicago, so I know a lot about Chicago basketball history and everything. And I loved how the crowd was so receptive to Anthony Davis, and even Dwayne Wade got his moments, and Scottie Pippen was there. You're right, there was an air of absence around MJ and just how we would have approached that any other year, I believe, prior to the last 10, where it seems like MJ just kind of put himself in the shadows. But it will be an absence that Derrick Rose didn't have much of a impact there, because when you talk about people that have an impact around Chicago, Derrick Rose had that impact, and he also wasn't really mentioned too much either, which was kind of a shot to me, Joe.
So with Derrick, my entry into this league was when he was really beginning his comeback, like he was starting to play again for the Bulls. And those first games that I covered at United Center, you know, they still do the same pregame music that they did with Michael. So everybody, all your listeners know what that sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but instead of the last guy being Michael Jordan, you know, 6'6", North Carolina, it would be, you know, number one from Chicago, Derrick Rose, and the place would just go insane. I mean, totally insane.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're right. Like, he is a part of Chicago lore, and it's just, you know, it's hard for a six man to make it into the All-Star game. It would have been it would have been great if somehow that could have worked out, because he is revered there. There's no question.
Joe Vartan, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And, of course, everyone go over to The Athletic and read your latest. And, of course, all the great work you guys are doing with John Beilein as well. Appreciate it again, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. It's Joe Vartan in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, I mean, the rose that grew from concrete, Derrick Rose, his impact, more so than MJ. And I didn't even put it together last night in regards to MJ's absence for this weekend. I was thinking about Derrick Rose the entire time, because Derrick Rose is from Chicago. And Derrick Rose, I watched him play at Simeon High School, and he played my high school there. And he was amazing start to finish. You know, Anthony Davis, we watched, and that's fine. We put him under our watchful eye, and then he had that massive growth spurt his senior year, and then he just kind of skyrocketed. But Derrick Rose, from start to finish, was Chicago basketball. And they did such a great job of honoring that last night. Like, for someone like me that grew up in the 90s in Chicago, it couldn't have been better. But that's interesting. You're right. It was an absence of MJ. No doubt about that one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.